Welcome to the January 19th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45, and the sermon is entitled, Soliciting Certain Seats, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I want you to grab your Bible, open your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter number 10. And it's amazing that as we gather to praise, God knows our hearts. And as in doing so today, I don't know why I just say this. Some Sundays, you know God is going to do something. This is one of those Sundays. I don't know what it is, but God is going to do something. And that happens when we just get out of his way and let God do what he needs to do. And so real quickly, Mark chapter 10, we're going to start at verse 35. While you are turning there, I want you to understand where my heart is today. A couple of months ago, I was able to take my boys and a couple of friends to a football game, college football game. There's no greater game in the world than college football. I want you to know that. And as we got to that game, it was we got in our seats, we got settled in, we got what they wanted to eat and what they wanted to drink, and we were just waiting for the game to start. And as we were doing so, up comes the stairs, a couple, everybody's filing in, but there comes a couple up the stairs, and they come over right in front of me, the row below me, and I'm getting ready to greet my neighbor, because that's what pastors do. I don't care where you are. You just got to say, hey, welcome to my house. You know, we're at Lane Stadium. Welcome to my house, you know. I'm glad you get to sit beside me today. And this guy pulls out his phone, and he simply says, you're in my seat. Well, I'm scrambling then. I'm on my phone, like, scrolling, and where I am, I cannot get my phone to load. The phone is dead, and I say, well, let me run back down to where I have service. I'll come back up, and I know I'm in the right seats. So I take off running down, and I get halfway down, and I look back, and I see the section that I know that I'm supposed to be in. So I run back up the steps, and I say, you're in the wrong section. And he looked at his phone, and he looks at the sign, and he said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know what I was going to have on my hands there for a few minutes. I want you to know that. I didn't know whether to run and get out of Blacksburg and come on back to Amherst where I belong or what. Today's message is titled, Soliciting Certain Seats. Say that 10 times fast before you leave. God bless you, okay? But what happens when we think we deserve certain seats, places in the place of God? Today we are introduced to two brothers that believe that. And I want you to know, if my life was recorded on scripture, there are parts of my life that I would not want you to know. But what the Bible does in revealing its truth is it shows us this, that the great people, the godly people that we read about, they were just normal human beings as well, just like you and me. They had their faults. They had where they were weak, and we are introduced to two brothers in the Gospel of Mark today. The brothers' names are James and John. Mark refers to them earlier in chapter 3 as the sons of thunder. They are the sons of Boanerges. They are the sons of thunder. They are loud. They are boisterous, borderline obnoxious. But God does something in their heart that changes them. But still, as God is working on their life, there are those evidences that there's still work to do that leaks itself out, and it leaks on the pages of Scripture for us today. What we need to understand through our reading today, it's one thing to pick your seats on an airplane. It's one thing to pick your seats at a concert or a ball game. It's one thing to pick your seats at church. You all sit in the same seats every Sunday. It's another thing to try to determine your position in the great plan of God. And so today, when we think about soliciting those places where we think we should be, there is stern warning in God's word. And so, if you're flying, I hope you pick the right seat. But today, if you are worshiping, I hope you're worshiping in the right place, the place of God today. Before we get into our reading, I want you to know this. Before this conversation that we're going to look at takes place, here's what Jesus says in verse number 34 to his disciples. They were headed to Jerusalem. Jesus is saying this, the Son of Man is going to be delivered in the chief priest to the scribes. They shall condemn him to death. They shall deliver him to the Gentiles. They shall mock him, scourge him, spit upon him, kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. That's what's on Jesus's mind. He is headed to the cross, and he wants the 12 closest people that he lives with, that he knows, that he has spent life with, to know, I'm going to die. And here is their only concern. Can I have a seat in that kingdom? Join me, Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 37. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one at thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. Point number one today, choice seating can be selfish. Choice seating can be selfish. Now remember, the great challenge through this sermon series is this: find the one place where you are gifted, where you believe God has gifted you, serve him and serve him well through the local church. Whether that's Clifford Baptist Church or another church, listen to what the pastor says, I don't care. So long you serve Jesus and serve him well through the local church. That's what we're called to do as believers. And so, when we think of that challenge, we understand this. There are some that enter church and enter ministry for the wrong reasons. Just as these brothers are simply worried about when Jesus gets in his kingdom and his kingdom is established, one would be at the right and one would be at the left. We want the power positions in your kingdom. I don't think these two brothers fully understood what was about to happen. I think in their minds, they still thought Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom and that they wanted those positions. But why does the pastor say these are selfish motives? Look at verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Now, I know that's the King James Version. Here's the Jeffrey Version. Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you to. Wouldn't y'all like to have a genie in the bottle? You know, you get three wishes. Whatever you want, they're granted to you, and boom, life is better. Or is it? Or is it? Some of us approach Jesus just like that in our prayer lives. Jesus, if you will do this, this, and this, I will serve you for the rest of my life. Be careful. Be careful. Here's what we hear in knowing that these choice seats can be selfish is simply this. It wasn't Jesus's place to grant it, first off, but their heart's desire of position that they want in an outward way. There is a root of pride that gets involved in our lives if we are not careful. And I think that is behind the brother's request. And in Matthew's account, guess what? Mama asked for the position. So here's what I want you to see. There's a whole family conspiring that these two brothers get the best position in Jesus's kingdom. What is the best position? Think of that. We're going to answer it when we get to the end. What is the best job that you could do for Jesus today? What is the best? Think about that. We're going to talk about it when we get to the end. But here's what I want you to see. These two brothers, out of greed, out of pride, out of their selfish desire, say this, that we want those positions above anyone else. And in looking at those positions of power and authority in that kingdom, James and John knew this. All they wanted was the position. They didn't know what it was going to entail. But how many of our hearts are the same way? We seek position or fame or attention rather than the humble, spirit-filled service that God desires from every one of us. We had a godly example in our midst a few years ago. He's been passed away almost 6 years now. Many of you know him. His wife is still alive and doing well at 96 years old. Morris and Jean Thomas. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm like you because my family always sits over here. And on those Sundays, I would come in and I would watch Morris Thomas would sit right there. And I watched him one Sunday as somebody worked their way in through the door. He didn't look like us. He was darker complected. And Morris sat beside his wife, Jean. And out of that, when Morris noticed, Morris got up, gave his seat to that man right beside his wife, and he moved somewhere else. So that man could hear the gospel of Jesus. That was his heart's desire. Now, I want you to know there are times that we are selfish when we are not intended to be, but he gave away his seat to someone who was searching for one. Now, you say, Jeffrey, what does that have to do with the impact on eternity? Here's the reality. It's not about us anyway. If you are here today thinking this is about you, guess what? It's not. It's not about me. It's not about Clifford Baptist Church across the doorpost. It's all about Jesus. And if Jesus can use Clifford Baptist Church, and if Jesus could use me in a small way, praise be to God. Here's what we need to be reminded. It's not about the selfish gains while we need to seek the positions within serving our Savior. Now, you may sit here and say, Jeffrey, that has nothing to do with me. Okay, let's move on. Look at verses 38 through 40. Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said to him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. Verse 40, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Point number two today, choice seating comes with a price. How many of you know that if you want reserved seating somewhere, you're going to have to dig deep in the pockets? And you're going to have to schedule that well in advance if you want the seat that your heart desires. Jesus simply tells these brothers, y'all don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know what you're asking for. And here's the reality, you don't even know what it takes to get those seats. In writing this message, I thought of the times that I asked God to do something or not to do something. The times that I begged God to heal somebody or begged God to take somebody on home. Simply put, I didn't know what I was asking. I asked for something that I desired, that I thought was the right. And we understand that Jesus is in control of it all. He knew what was about to happen to him. And he knew what these two had on their hearts. He knew these two. And just a matter of time would run and hide because they were scared for their lives. These big, brute, boisterous men would become cowardly babies when it came to the name of Jesus. When threatened with their life. And so, he answers them like only Jesus can. Let me tell you this before I interject and go further. Some of us get upset with God when we don't get something answered or something doesn't quite work out our way or the way that we think we do. I don't know about you, but I do. These brothers didn't get their prayer answered either. They went to Jesus, can we have the seats? And Jesus says, no, you can't. How many of you know that no is an answer? How many of you know that, I can't do that, as Jesus says, is an answer. I'm thankful for those prayers that I thought that were unanswered And today I'm reminded that God answered him how he sought fit and how he knew best. But how did Jesus get the seat? With his life. And here's what he says. He says, I'm going to go through a cup. And I'm going to have a baptism. And listen, don't let your mind go to the Lord's Supper. Don't let your mind go to baptism. Here's what your mind needs to go to. I'm going to endure suffering, hardship, pain, and I'm going to go through death to get with that kingdom. And as he knows that, here's what he says. Do you think that you can do that? And these two men, not knowing what they were saying, say, yeah, we can. We can go through all of that with you. How many times are we not aware of the price of what we think is right? The price is steep. But here's what we need to understand. The price has been paid by Jesus. Look at me real quick, everybody here. The only way you can sit in this room today in the seat that you choose is because Jesus went to a cross to forgive us of our sins. And he died that death that every one of us should die. And he rose on the third day to give us life and opportunity and a relationship with him. That's the only reason I can stand where I stand and you sit where you sit. That is how we got our seats today. They are reserved seats through the blood of Jesus Christ. But here's what I want you to know today. Sometimes these two brothers, they didn't know what they were asking and they didn't know what it would cost. They said that Jesus, we can go through that with you. He didn't promise them the seats, but what he did promise is that you will experience suffering and torment and persecution because of me. You're going to have the cup and you're going to be baptized because you belong to me. And so today, know that the choice seats, the price has been paid. Look at verse 41. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Point number three today. Choice seating causes contention. This is not a conversation just between Jesus and the brothers or their mother and Jesus. Guess what? There are 20 listening ears to the conversation, and they are the other 10 disciples. Those other 10 people hear the conversation. They hear what James and John asked for, and simply this, they're ticked off. How do they get the seats? Why do they get them? Why can't I have them? Does that happen in church? It does. Within the inner circle, there are people upset with these two brothers, and that contention rises up to the surface. And we know it's the root of pride and selfish desire, but with selfish desire always comes sinful desire. If I don't get what I want, listen to me. I'm going to take my glasses off so you understand. This is where church gets hard. Because if you don't get what you want, you can leave. And that gets thrown up in a pastor's face, in a committee's face, in the deacon's face a lot. If I don't get my way, I'm gone. And here's what the pastor has to say. In a very nice way. See you later. The rumblings And listen, I'm talking about Clifford Baptist Church. The rumblings within destroy the work of the gospel. When the rumblings happen, somebody has to give an answer. And what it does, it pits brother against brother, sister against sister. The church becomes a bomb and explodes, and Satan rejoices because it's destroyed. This is a stern warning that people that are motivated for their own selfish desires better be aware. Even in the church, people get upset. People get mad. The 10 start babbling between themselves. And we see in verse 41, they are very displeased. Now, James 3:16 offers this thought, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Philippians 2:4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's not about you. That's what the Bible says. So knowing that, how do you fix contention? Look what Jesus does in verse number 42. The beginning of it, it says this, but Jesus called them to him. Jesus calls all 12 to himself and begins to teach about what they were arguing about. And that teaching is how to be great. Who wants to be great? There is no desire in my heart to be a great preacher. And I don't. There are many pastors that are greater than I. I'm not trying to be the best. I'm just trying to be faithful to what the Lord has given me. That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. Jesus calls all 12 and he addresses the issue. When there is contention among the brethren, you need to turn to Jesus. You need to turn to his word. And so the warning here, when it becomes about one, when it's focused on one, others are upset. And just because you hold positions, you are on committees, doesn't make you better than any one person. Here is Pastor Jeffrey's heart. Look at me. I want everyone to understand this. I don't care about your education. I don't care about your skin color. I don't care about your background. I don't care what you have done or what you haven't done. If you love Jesus and you want to serve him, please come sit by me. Because those are the ones that are serious about the Lord's work. It's not about loving yourself. It's about loving Jesus. There's one more point in this. After the contention, look at verse 42. Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister or your servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Point number 4, choice seating takes a backseat to serving. Jesus says this, the great rulers of the Gentiles, the greatest of them are concerned with the power that they have. In the world's eyes, listen, it's dictated by who has the power. Who's got the most control? Who's got the most power? They rule the world. Well, here's what Jesus says. You're not of the world. And actually, it works the opposite in my kingdom. Remember, they were desiring a seat in the kingdom. Jesus says, in my kingdom, it's backwards. In verse 43, Jesus says, that shouldn't be so among disciples. Among the greatest of disciples won't sit at their right or left hand. The great among you will serve. And whoever desires to be first will be minister or slave to all. I asked you a question a few minutes ago. Where's the best place to serve? I think we talked a little bit about that last week. But we see a man in the example of Jesus that is talking to the people that he would send into the world after his death. And now he's teaching them and us, if we want to be great in his eyes, not the world's eyes, we must be willing to serve, not just our families, not just church people, not just those in your little friend circle, but you must be willing to serve everyone. So here we are. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Jesus wraps it up in verse number 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Listen to me. This is God in the flesh form, Jesus. At any moment, he could have had people bowing at his feet. But that's not what he came for. At any moment, I believe Jesus could have called down, the angels would have came and they would have served him. That's not what he came for. Look at verse number 45 again. The Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister or to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Today, who are you serving? The greatest servants of Clifford Baptist Church. Never see a platform. They don't sing in the choir. They don't even speak Bible verses or don't preach a sermon. They don't teach a Sunday school lesson. They may not sit on a board or a committee. The greatest among us will simply come, see the need, and meet it in the name of Jesus. Meet it in the name of Jesus. As Jesus uses himself as an example, he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. For many. And this sums up his life. Today, if you are desiring position, power, you better be careful. I don't care where it is, whether it's here, whether it's at work, whether it's at home. If you're desiring that, something's wrong. It's not lining up with what I read. And so today, who are we serving? It's more than position and power. It's the love of Jesus that motivates. And so today, I'm done. But here's what we need to pray about as a church. What are those areas that I need to work on in order that Jesus would get the glory? Is it your own selfish desires? Is it contention that is in the air with someone or something? Do you not really understand the price? The only thing that matters in Jesus' kingdom is this: what you did with him, what you did with him while you lived this earth. What did you do? What are you doing with the name of Jesus? Today, if you are here, that last part of verse number 45, he came not only to serve and be that example, but he came to give his life a ransom. That word ransom means paying the price. He paid your price, a ransom for many. Today, maybe you're here and you've never committed your life to Jesus. You've never been saved. Maybe today, what you are hearing, you are one of the many that Jesus came for. Not only did he come to give you an example, but he came to be your savior, to die on the cross for your sin, to forgive you of that sin, to rise on the third day to give you life and life eternal. Today, if you don't have Jesus and have a relationship with him, today that is priority number one. If you have that, where and who will you serve in the name of Jesus this week? Now listen, I don't know what your week looks like, but look, the Washington football team's back relevant. TikTok is gone. And a president is coming to town. Let me tell you this. I don't know what this week's going to be like because of all three of those things. But here's what I know. Jesus is in control. And he wants to be in control of your life and your situation. And no matter what happens in the world, I have the hope that Jesus offers. Do you? Today, as we leave, how will we serve him this week? Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for these moments in which we now give an invitation. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit as it moves about the pews and the hearts that are here, that are watching live stream. God, I pray, Lord, that you will convict us through your word of those areas where we need to work. Lord, make us servants, not just to one, but to all. Not in our name or not for our power or not for a position, but for you because you are our Lord. Lord, if it means bending the knee to wash feet, God, give us that opportunity to give you glory. If it's lifting our voice to sing or speak, God, may you get the glory. God, as you have planted a lighthouse in Clifford, Virginia, Lord, may your light shine and go forth from this place, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wanted to take a second to say thank you. Thank you for joining our live stream worship service today. My prayer is that this service has changed your day and will change your week as you seek to draw closer to God. Today, I want to offer an invitation to you to join us next week, maybe even to join us in person if that's a possibility for you. But thank you however you join us. And today, if you have made a decision to walk with Jesus Christ for the very first time, we want to hear about that decision. Please reach out to us, Clifford Baptist at cliffordbaptist.org, and let us know of your decision. May God bless you this day. Praise be to God.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.